This is gross.
Oh, this is gross.
Oh, that's so gross.
Oh my God, that's gross.
Like, this is totally gross.
No, this is Jordan Gross.
Oh, Jordan Gross.
Oh, bless his heart. Jordan's not gross.
This is gross.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to This is Gross. I'm your host, Jordan Gross. A fan said to me, why don't you do a greatest hits show? And I'd never really thought about it, but then I said, you know what? That's a great idea. So today I bring you my version of the greatest hits, just a lot of the segments out of these conversations that I really enjoyed and thought were funny or extra insightful, in no particular order. And sorry to any of the guys who didn't make it on the list, because there was a lot of good stuff that I had to leave off there. But I got a little bit of Cam, D'Angelo, Khalil, Star, Richie Brockle, Hartsock, the list goes on and on. Captain Munnerlin. So hope you enjoy it, and we'll be back to new shows next week. Peace.
We're recording. This is Hello. Your dreams have come true, Cam Newton.
Hello.
We are.
Is this
We are not live. But we are recording on the air right now. Let me just ask: have you ever even heard my show?
I have not. You have boosted and juiced this thing up as long as, you know, the thoughts of camp has been in my mind. So, you know, I'm excited.
Well,
to
here's the premise. Okay, a little backstory. I said I thought it'd be fun to record myself talking to my teammates about nothing at all serious.
Welcome to This is Gross. I'm your host, Jordan Gross, with Panthers running back D'Angelo Williams.
What do you think?
That's not bad. I like that. That's not bad.
Well, finally you're on.
Yeah. Thanks for having me,
I had to
Gross.
Hunt you down. Yeah, you're supposed to be on last week.
Yeah.
And then you got mad. No, I asked you if you'd be on.
Yes.
And then you stood me up at you stood me up at training camp.
I did. I apologize.
And then I asked you if you'd come on again, and I gave you a hard time for standing me up, and you got mad at me. So then you said, I'm not coming on.
Yeah.
So then I said, well, that's why I have to hound you, because you are that guy. So you said, I asked you if you've heard this show, and you haven't even been on Panthers.com yet.
Not yet. Been a little busy with our playbook and getting adjusted.
You're telling me when you got drafted, you didn't go on the website to get to know the organization you just came to?
No.
You know, I don't know how to say this, but I'm pretty much your biggest fan.
Well, you caught up quickly because you'd never listened to the show, and then one day you came in to the weight room and you're like,
listen,
I did a
everyone.
Marathon last night, and I'm caught up.
Well, I'm up here without my wife and kids. They're still down in Georgia, so I'm living the bachelor life. So after practice, I've got literally nothing to do. So I went home one afternoon, and I'd watched every Seinfeld rerun, Office rerun, 30 Rock rerun I could possibly
So you're a comedy
of.
Guy.
Yeah.
So you said, where's some comedy that I can just turn the lights down low and enjoy?
And I feel like you're really hitting your stride.
So that dynamic is always funny, because we are so jealous / mad at you guys.
Right.
Because we'll be in – so our day is like we come in, we have meetings, we have lifting. Our meeting time is like never ending in walkthroughs.
Right.
This is all before practice.
I know. You do walkthroughs in our cul-de-sac.
And
it kind of bothers us.
Yeah.
It messes with our downtime.
A makeshift football game breaks out in the locker room when we're doing all these. Well, you guys are sitting there and like – I swear you must have read every finance and religious and political book that's ever been written. Because
I'm trying to.
Every day you have a new book. You read like a whole book each day.
I got a lot of free time.
This is the first time you've ever made that. You've ever said that. You hold strong to the argument that you don't have free time.
This is off the air, right? You're gonna edit that out.
No, this
Ooh.
Is.
Ooh.
I don't. That's this show. I don't edit. I just go.
We can't edit that?
No.
Darn. So that's gonna be public record now.
Tell me about your day a little bit.
All right.
During
so,
the season.
Let's
say it's
season.
A Wednesday.
Okay. So we show up on Wednesday. It's about the same time you guys do, but we usually have. You know, we have special teams. First thing. So the difference is when you guys are usually meeting, we typically might be watching our own film, but we don't have a whole lot of film to watch, especially
right.
on Wednesdays. What I didn't realize till recently is that when we have special teams meetings, Coach Masco goes and takes you guys
We away. Have meetings.
You have meetings.
And you don't even have to go to every special teams.
No.
Only when there's snapping involved.
When there's snapping involved,
so
yes.
you go to field goal and punt.
Yeah, I got those down pat.
So you go. Okay, we'll get back to this, but continue.
Yeah, so we'll come in for meetings, you know, on time. We've got to be on time because we only have one meeting. So on time for that, and obviously we'll have our team meeting, and then it's sort of we kind of get scattered because we don't know.
And by we, you mean kickers and you.
Kickers and
punters
me.
And you.
And I usually just am told I'm a kicker, and that's fine. Right. I've gotten used to it. And so we'll, you know, meetings land, and we don't know really where to go. Like, are we going to kind of congregate in our meeting room? Are we going to kind of congregate in the locker room? Inevitably, we always end up in the wrong spot.
Yeah, you don't have a home almost.
Right, exactly. And you know, the scary part is we're always seen by somebody doing nothing. And I kid you not, we're actually doing things, but we're always seen when we're not doing something.
And the best part of all is, when you go to O-line camp in Idaho, lo and behold, there's like five or six O-linemen there that play eight-man football. So I was teaching them how to be a tackle, and they don't even need a tackle.
Well, they know how to be a tackle. They play guard, but it's really tackle.
It's really
they're they blocking go, the guys off the edge.
They go center, guard, and then two tight ends, a running back, and a quarterback.
Right, and they just throw the ball all over the place.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I was asking me, we had him drop a, remember when we started with a chalk talk, we had him drop a defense. He's like, why is there so many guys out there? I said, what do you mean? He said, I play eight-man football.
Right, and there was a couple of them that played.
There was like six of them. And the linemen, I thought the linemen were at the wrong camp because they were like $1.50.
Right, that's Idaho linemen there for you.
That's an Idaho eight-man lineman.
Yeah.
And the one guys were from such a small school, they joined with another school to have enough players to make eight-man.
To make eight-man football. They have to use two high schools.
And I asked the one kid, I said, what is your summer job? He said, ranching.
Right. How about the lava lavas we got?
The lava lavas, but are they like, called? I thought they're not called lava lavas. I thought that was like a generic
term. Well, I think the casual ones are. I saw a sign that said
gotcha.
A lava lava is like a basically it kind of looks like a beach towel with
right.
like a Hawaiian print that the men wear around their waists. It looks like a dress, but if you're there, it's not a dress. It's lava lava. But we had to go to a formal dinner.
We did
at the governor of American Samoa's house, and we had to wear a formal lava lava, which is called. Formal wear there is like a hula shirt, a Hawaiian
right.
shirt, flip flops, which are known as slippers.
And we were suited and booted.
And what else?
What do you mean?
What's the formal lava lava called?
Ie faikanga.
Ie faikanga, which is like slacks material.
And
but
Ie means what?
Pocketed.
Pocket.
It's fancy.
Because that's how it's fancy. Because it has pockets.
So if you wear a pocketed dress, you're a fancy.
This is my 27th training camp, and I don't need that much. So honestly, I came in, I had a comforter, which was in a green plastic garbage bag, which upset my wife. She thought that was real classy for a head coach. And then I have this white laundry basket, and in it I've got about six pairs of underwear, six pairs of clean socks, three pairs of shorts, and three shirts.
Yep.
And that's it. And then inside my car, I have an emergency sport coat.
And
just in case I got to go somewhere fancy.
In case a cocktail party breaks out,
I'm ready to go.
Hold on. Okay.
And I'm ready to go. That's about it, though. It's gotten to the point where I can move in now without only having to go
to
the car once.
So when you come home, what's your like normal evening routine at being a, you know, you're by yourself, you just got a condo. Like, what do you do?
Let's see. So I get back usually probably 6:15.
Okay.
Then I sit around for a half hour and decide what to make for dinner, even the only thing I have is chicken.
So you don't have cable, so you're like literally just sitting there.
So like last year what I would do is I would come back, sit down, make food, I'd take about 15 minutes and then eat what I make. So I put the rice in the microwave while the chicken's in the stove, and when the rice gets done, I eat the rice, and then when the chicken comes out, I eat the chicken.
You're not plating it.
It doesn't get plated. I use plastic silverware. And plastic cups.
Okay.
Usually my Muscle Milk shaker is my cup. And then
do you have like just water in it, or do you like
water.
Mix in some electrolytes?
Yeah, orange juice and Pellegrino water.
Really?
Sophisticated.
That's like a mimosa
without,
hold the alcohol.
Yeah, it's like a little kid mimosa.
It's like a virgin mimosa.
Mimosa.
It's a Luke Mosa.
And then I sit down, and I had cable last year, and I would watch like Discovery Channel.
Oh, yeah.
And go to bed at like 9:30.
I'll tell you what, when I think about playing with you, though, I think of the locker room more than I think of anything, just the hijinks. You and Steve Smith got in a battle about who could dump the ice-cold water on the most guys while they were going to the bathroom in the stall, and that's just an enjoyable experience. If you ever had
ice cold ice water, a whole like a 5 gallon bucket dumped on your head when you're using the restroom. That's fun.
Look,
thanks a lot.
I was worried about guys because you see the young guys don't take care of their bodies after practice, so I mean they need to have some cold plunges. I mean that's what you worry about.
It got so bad though that guys would be in there and we'd have to have the door open on the stall
exactly
just to protect so you could at least know it was coming. Or you, yeah, what'd you do? You got an umbrella.
I got
time.
An umbrella. Best. That was the best comeback I've ever had in my life. I had an umbrella and I had it in my sweatpants hidden. And I went in there and I made it known that I needed to go into the restroom.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I had the umbrella cocked up, and whenever they dumped it, and it went all over. And I got up and I looked, and the whole team was like staring, looking, waiting just to laugh at me. And they saw that in the eyes, so like, you got to be kidding me. So that was classic.
The worst part about that whole process, though, is then all the toilet paper would be soaking wet. And that's a difficult process, soaking wet toilet paper. Because you guys always make fun of my breakdowns,
yeah.
Like before the game. So I get like, because I've been a captain, so man. They're like, hey, somebody needs to break the team down. And I always have, every job I have in this building is like, when nobody else wants to do it, then I'll do it.
Right.
So
right.
The breakdowns come, and I'm always trying to think, all right, what can I say to these guys, you know?
Yeah, but
and you guys say I get a different voice.
It's like, when it's I like do the them. Equivalent of... like Johnny Knoxville, like you, he's always the comedian. He's always funny. Like he's always the guy that like lifts the room,
right.
Turns into like Andy Dufresne on Shawshank Redemption, or
just kind of a downer,
or Lou Holtz. Or you, like you can't do that. Like
that's a broad spectrum, right
like,
there.
Exactly. Like
Lou Holtz.
Yeah.
The defense is coming with a pressure from the outside.
Yes. Like you go from Johnny Knoxville to Lou Holtz, and we're just like, who is this guy?
All right. Well, I'm glad you're telling me. Well, a true friend would tell me.
Yeah, and I'm telling you now. I mean, I just hate we had to do it, you know, with all the listeners here. But
that's good. You would be surprised how many, like, down to the heart of issues I've got to on this show, because when else do we sit down and just have a conversation with no distractions?
Right. I was fortunate enough to grow up. About the time I got my driver's license, there was no speed limit.
Tell me how that works. Can you even get a speeding ticket?
You could get a reckless driving ticket.
So how
if you're going about 100 or so, they'll pull you over. I can vouch for that.
Did you get pulled over?
Yeah. No ticket.
So you got pulled over
in
an area with no speeding limit.
Yeah.
How fast were you going? Tell me that story, please. Start
I was probably going.
How old were you?
17.
Driving a?
87. Chevy Suburban.
An 87 Suburban.
Like no CD player.
Oh, yeah.
All radio.
Did it have a tape deck?
No tape deck.
It did?
No tape
just
deck. All radio.
Did it have like the push?
Yes.
Like the presets were push?
Yes.
Right? And you had to adjust it.
That's how I was rolling in Montana.
And then you put on like some Jodeci.
If I could find that station in Montana.
What's going on, man?
So I looked over in the game. Well, two, let's go back. We live in the same neighborhood.
Yes.
Our kids go to the same school.
Yes.
Our wives are friends. They do tennis and all that stuff. And 2 weeks ago, we were sitting poolside on one of my days off, and you were hold on. This is Gross with Travell Wharton, take two. The phone rang, so we had to restart.
Yeah, it never happened. Like
you're busy. You have a home phone. That's how grown up you are with your home phone. And it was ringing so much, we had to start over.
Hey, man, it never happened like that.
Yeah, usually, right.
It's peaceful around here.
Yeah, right. Middle of the day. Well, that's what happens when you grow up in Greenville, basically. Now someone's at the door. Go get the door. We'll restart. Okay, so can we start?
Yes, we can start. We can start.
So was it your personal jeweler? Is that who was at the door?
No, man.
He said he had fresh jewelry for you, right?
Yeah.
Y'all have a tough position.
Well, yeah, I think so.
You have a tough position.
You know, that's what I can't do any other position.
Right.
So it's not by choice.
But you always challenge me that say if you was at defensive end, and I was at left tackle.
Oh, I could get a sack on you.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I could. No, you're, I've seen – when you guys do your little individual drills, yes, and you got to play tackle –
I'm working on my step back.
It's terrible. I'm just telling you, it's terrible. It's terrible. You got to go backwards as fast as you can while a guy who's faster than you, yeah, and just as strong is running forward.
But you're the complete opposite.
Yeah, but, dude, we – you think that you could just do it. It's like a lifetime of work, and I still get beat.
Okay, faster.
You're
faster. And I'm going on offense, and you're slower going on defense.
Yeah, and but it's technique.
What move would you use?
I'm not telling you. It'd be one of these three. It'd either be a stutter my feet to the inside move.
Uh-huh.
Okay? It'd either be long arm to a rip around the edge, or
I'd say speed.
I can fast, or it'd be stutter bull rush.
Okay,
and all three—that's three sacks right there. Yes, it is.
But
it
I see y'all going against when y'all have to show. Like,
well, I don't go hard against my own guys.
But it looks so sloppy and slow, though.
You know what's funny? Nate Chandler moved from D line to O line, and now his pass rush moves are terrible. It's like he forgot how to do it. No, so you live by me.
Yes.
Down in the south part of town.
Yeah.
And there's a story that one day.
Oh, man.
Why don't you just take it from here? When you were driving home.
I hit a deer.
Did you hit it or did it hit you? What happened?
He hit me. I didn't hit him.
So you're driving down the road at a safe speed, right?
Broad daylight. Let's put that out there.
No, it was day?
Daylight.
I thought it was night.
No.
Because at night, they're all over the place, and you got to slow down. You see their eyes glowing, and they're like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And they come out at you?
2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Were you paying attention to the road?
Yeah. He just came out the bush out of nowhere.
And sideswiped you?
Sideswiped me.
Which side? Driver's side or passenger?
Passenger.
So what'd you do? Oh, shoot.
I was like, oh, my. So I stopped, and the car behind me stopped. And
what'd the deer do?
I hit him. He wiggled his tail and kept going.
No, it didn't.
Yes. He just kept going on me.
What happened to your car?
Oh, it was tore up. It was messed up bad.
Like all dented in?
Yes. And I was scared to go wash it because it had a little blood on it.
Jeez.
It's just because the insurance company, I didn't think they was going to believe me because it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
But so, no, that I think they believe you because a human isn't going to run into the side of your car.
That's what I was trying to tell them. And the lady was like, when I called the insurance company, she was like, well, don't wash your car. You know, maybe it's some hair on it.
That's kind of creepy,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, so I had to go. And it was a holiday coming up. So I had to wait. So that Monday, they didn't come out.
No.
It happened on a Friday. That Monday, they didn't come out. That Tuesday, they didn't come out. They didn't come out to my house till that Thursday. So my car's just sitting there
with blood on it.
Deer blood and hair on it the whole time. And I'm sitting there like, man.
That was it in your Camaro?
In my Camaro.
And you'd think a deer would have seen that thing coming.
That yellow bright car. Right. Yeah, I was so mad at him. I'm still looking for him.
That wasn't even your worst injury, though, last year. It wasn't. Your worst injury was in Atlanta.
The butt stinger that you still tease me about? Is that even a real thing? Or
yeah. So I feel like I was even saying I'm going to bring this story up, and it's not even usually – it's still funny. It's never not funny. So we're playing in Atlanta last year, and my good buddy Ryan, my best friend and the heart and soul of our O-line, there's a fumble, right? Yeah. Like it was like a reverse, and we ran around the left side. There's a fumble. Ball's on the ground. Ryan's got it. All of a sudden.
Well, no, I dive for it, and then it's like a cartoon where all the characters pile up on one big pile after another.
And you had the ball.
I had the ball.
And then somebody
was aiming right for my lower back.
It was Troy Bierman, number 71.
Right for my lower back.
He speared you in the, high cheeks, low back.
High cheeks, low back.
With his helmet. I thought you were paralyzed. I hear this scream. I stopped going for the ball because I thought someone's dying on the field. I look over. You're on your back, reaching for your back and just screaming in pain.
And your whole lower half is
your legs are laying like they're paralyzed. And you're screaming. And I was like, what's wrong? You're like, I can't feel my legs.
I couldn't feel my legs.
So I'm panicking. I'm like, trainers, get over here now. He can't feel his legs. But so a stinger is like when you get hit in the neck and your vertebrae pinches and your arm goes dead. That happens a lot to us. But I've never been around the butt stinger.
So you got up once you got miraculous healing hands.
Well, you go from, it's so crazy, our job. You're like in a situation where all of a sudden you don't feel your legs, and that's normal. And no one's freaking out about
it. Well, I was, because it was my buddy.
Well, then all of a sudden, moments later, they come back to life. You're like, and now you feel like a huge wuss.
You're like, oh, I'm not paralyzed.
I'm not paralyzed. That's good. Feel like a huge wuss.
Right.
And then you just brace yourself for the jokes that come later on.
So we got up on the sidelines, and you do like, normal. I think if a normal person had a butt stinger, like say in a car wreck, they'd be fairly shaken up and taking it easy.
Sure.
You go around the sidelines, you get like some Gatorade, do like a couple trunk twists and a pass set, and you're like, all right, I guess I'm not paralyzed going back in.
Hey, before I go off, can I say something?
Yeah.
And that's another Panthers first down.
That wasn't so gross.
No, that was pretty gross.
I've heard grosser. Is it grosser or more gross?
That was gross.